Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This MLB season, FanDuel's Dinger Tuesday is back. And this year, all customers get a profit boost to bet home runs every week. So gear up to go yard all season long on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in select states. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today's episode is going to be a little different. So I was recently approached by my friends on the Weird True Crime podcast to help share the story of Ryan Waller, the man who was interrogated by police for 6 hours after he had just been shot and had a bullet still lodged in his brain. Despite this fact, they didn't get him medically evaluated until after they interrogated him for 6 hours. This story enraged me, and I think it's so important to get his story out there. So first, I'm going to share with you their original episode on this case so that you have all the details. And then in part two, I'm going to share with you my entire conversation with the host of Weird True Crime about Ryan's case and where everything stands today. And make sure before you go to go give Weird True Crime a follow wherever you stream your podcasts.
Darkcast Network, indie pods with a dark side.
Hey, little skeletons. I'm Gina.
I'm Amber.
And this is Weird True Crime.
I don't even know where to begin with today's case. I lost count how many times I said, "What the actual fuck," while going over this story. Shout out to my mom for suggesting this one and sending me spiraling down the rabbit hole.
If you, dear listener, want to suggest a future case for us to cover or express your outrage at the craziness you're about to hear, join our group on Facebook, Weird True Crime Podcast Group. Before we dive in, we also want to invite you all to come see us at the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival. Whoop whoop! Here in Austin on August 25th through August 27th. We are so excited to be part of it this year. So check out the link for more information in our show notes. Now, before we begin, I actually know nothing of this case and haven't seen or heard anything about it per Amber's
demand.
What's demand? Yeah, that's the word we're looking for. Yeah, Amber told me I absolutely could not even Google this. So we will be learning about this case together. Yeah.
To be fair, I did give you the option. And when you were like, meh, I was like, okay, fine. No, don't do it. Just don't.
It's like, do I want to look this up? And you were like, actually, no, don't.
Just don't. I get to experience firsthand watching your reactions of this unfold, because when my mom showed this video to me, I was by myself laying in a hotel bed watching it on my phone and had nobody to experience the outrage with. So this will be
well, good. I'm glad I can entertain you today. So let's go.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about interrogations and interrogation methods. Sometimes they're literally just a formality, as the police are able to put together a clear picture of what happened without even asking a single question. And sometimes it is clear what transpired, but they need to get a few more details to really understand. For today's case, we're going to be focusing and talking a lot about the interrogation video. You'll understand why soon enough. We're traveling back to December of 2006 in Phoenix, Arizona. A young couple, Ryan Waller and his girlfriend of roughly 8 months, Heather Kwan, were spending some time together alone at their house on December 23rd, 2006. Their families were expecting to see them at some point later on, you know, due to the upcoming Christmas holiday. So when neither family heard from either one of them the day after Christmas, Ryan's concerned father drove to their house to check on them. When no one answered the door, he contacted the police to do a welfare check. The police arrived around midnight, and even though they noticed a body from the window, they refused to break in and instead waited hours for a search warrant, which wasn't necessary.
What?
Ryan and Heather's roommate, Alicia, had arrived home and went straight to her bedroom, not noticing anything off in the living room. She answered the door when police knocked again and they were able to gain entry. They were not prepared for what they encountered when they went inside.
21-year-old Heather Kwan was found deceased on the couch. Ryan was there, alive, with a huge black and blue bruise on his left eye and some dried blood on his face. Ooh. He was immediately apprehended as a suspect, with the police thinking that there had been some sort of domestic dispute that resulted in her death. Ryan waited in the back of the police car while the police processed the scene. After waiting for 4 hours in the back of the police car, he was taken to the station where a lengthy interrogation began, starting roughly around 5 o'clock in the morning. At the beginning of the interrogation video, you can see Ryan enter the room wearing a white jumpsuit, assuming the police took his clothing in as evidence and gave him the poofy suit to wear. Ryan sits on the chair with his back to the wall, knees up to his chest, and bare feet on the edge of the chair. Every now and then, he raises his right arm and rests his head against it. As mentioned before, Ryan has a severely bruised eye. It is very dark and swollen. Honestly, side note, from just like the still shot I can see of the interrogation video that I have not watched, it almost looks fake. It's so dark. Like it looks like a mask that was drawn onto his eye. So it's crazy that it's so dark. About 5 minutes into waiting, he adjusts his position in the chair and leans forward with his head resting on his arms on the table. He continues to fidget and move around as if he can't get comfortable. The way he moves around sometimes makes it seem like his head is hurting him, but with the size of the bruise on his eye, it would be a surprise if he didn't have a headache, honestly. Yeah, or like a concussion. A few more minutes pass and still no one enters the room. All the while, Ryan is still fidgeting and can be heard moaning softly here and there. He just can't seem to stay still longer than a few moments before he changes positions or shuffles his feet.
Finally, at about 9 minutes into the video, Ryan makes a few more inaudible noises and stands up looking like he's ready to just walk out the door, but can't because his left wrist is attached to a handcuff on the table. Instead, he picks up a piece of paper off of the table and starts reading over it. Finally, someone enters the room. It's hard to hear what is said, but they have Ryan pick up his feet and place them on the table so they can take like photographs of like the soles of his feet. What? He stays in this position while they snap the photos, and he tells the interrogator that he just wants to go to sleep. The lead detective on the case, Paul Dalton, responds that it'll happen sooner or later. When they're done taking pictures, Ryan asks if he can go home. And it's very important to remember what is said here.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Do I get to go home?
I don't know. Should go to the doctor's where you should go.
Me?
Yeah.
Why? That?
Yeah.
Is it bad?
I'd say that's really bad.
He, like, doesn't realize how bad he's hurt?
He doesn't realize how bad it is, and interrogator saying, "Yeah, dude, you probably should go to the hospital and get that checked out."
Yeah, I would say so. That looks like it could even need surgery or something. It's so dark and swollen.
The bruising is bad enough on Ryan's face that Detective Dalton makes a comment that he needs to go to the hospital and get it checked out, but at this point, they're unsure who or what caused it. Was it Heather fighting back against Ryan that caused the injuries to his face, or something else? Dalton then prepares to read Ryan his Miranda rights and asks him if he's ever watched a cop show or a lawyer show. Ryan initially responds that he hadn't, but after he's asked a few more times, he just says, "Yeah." Confusion increases when Dalton asks the simple question of the highest grade level Ryan completed. Here's that clip.
"What's the highest grade you went through school?"
I don't know.
"You don't know the highest grade you went through?"
Eighth
grade? Did you graduate?
Yeah.
Do you have a GED?
I don't know.
How does he not know the answer to those questions?
So Dalton is genuinely confused at this point as well, but he presses on, continues the interrogation, and asks Ryan if he has a girlfriend. Here's the next clip.
"Do you have a girlfriend?" "No? You know a girl named Heather?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Do you know Heather's last name?"
"Mm-hmm."
"What is Heather's last name?"
The one that lives there right now?
"I guess, I don't know. If her name's Heather, what's her last name?
I don't know which name she's trying to use as her last one. She's trying to have a real last as her nickname, so I don't know.
What nickname does she go by?
She probably wants the last name, Kaiman.
Kaiman? How would you spell that? With a K or a C?
K.
Keep going.
I don't know.
So that's clearly not Heather's last name. His speech is slurred and he's unable to answer questions directly and just continues to say, I don't know. Earlier, when Ryan had been saying that he just wanted to go to sleep, the detective said he couldn't yet, just in case he had a concussion, which could be a real possibility.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like there's something going on there, for sure. Dalton presses on talking about Heather, asking Ryan how old she is and how long he's known her, which leads him to try to explain how he knew her from school. We're going to play that clip here.
How old is Heather?
16 or 17.
Is she a white girl?
Yeah.
How did you meet Heather?
I've known her since school.
Okay.
I don't know.
You just known her from school?
She used to be a business name. I don't know.
She used to be do a business name?
She used to be in my book named with business name.
Oh, okay. She used to be in a class, your business class?
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay, side note, I've seen the headline of the video and now I'm like thoroughly confused / concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Okay. I am so stressed out right now.
Sorry. At least you get to experience it with me. Like, my mom did this to me and I was alone. Damn it.
You're like, help. Mom! I'm scared.
What is happening?
Oh, God. He switches tactics and decides to ask Ryan directly what happened to his face. Here's that clip.
What happened to your face?
I don't know.
You told the officer just a few minutes ago that someone hit you. Do you remember who hit you?
I don't know. I think it was Heather.
Why would Heather hit you?
I don't know. It was an accident. I forgot why.
What was an accident?
Heather's last name?
No. What was an accident?
Heather hitting me.
What did she hit you with?
Her hand and the eye.
I don't feel like just getting hit in the eye with a hand would do that much damage.
He's still very confused.
He has no idea what he's saying at this point. It's obvious. Again, Ryan is slow to respond and just keeps saying, I don't know, a lot. We're going to play another clip here.
Did you guys have an argument?
Not really, no.
Not really?
Uh-oh.
What happened for her to hit you in the eye like that?
She just hit me on accident. She was giving Christina a head.
She was what?
She was helping Christina with her hair or something. I don't know.
Who's Christina?
She's on the couch.
Christina's on the couch?
Okay. So now, all of a sudden, he's talking about someone named Christina. In the video, you can see the detective sort of rummaging through the paperwork, trying to see if there is a mention of this Christina person anywhere in the case notes. Ryan says that Heather was giving Christina a head, then stumbles to correct and say that she was helping her with her hair. Dalton tries again to get some information about what went on the night before in Ryan's house. Here's that clip.
What happened last night?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't. I just want to go to sleep and go to sleep.
Well, you remember Heather hitting you in the eye, right?
So I don't remember after that because I just wanted to lay down and try to go to sleep.
All right.
I don't know what anybody was doing. I really don't.
Who was in the house when you went to sleep?
Christina and Heather.
Christina and Heather?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Christina was on the couch?
Heather was.
Heather was on the couch. You told me Christina was on the couch just a minute ago.
I don't know, man. I really don't. I really don't.
You just don't know?
I really don't, man.
You don't want to tell me?
I really don't know, man. I really don't. I just want to go and go to sleep, man.
All right, you're not going to go anywhere.
I am concerned for Ryan at this point.
Heartbreaking when I hear him whimper like that.
Yeah. I mean, my heart just sank.
I am in absolute agony sound that you cannot force.
You can tell that he feels awful. Honestly, I'm surprised the detective kept questioning him at this point and didn't just stop and get him medical help. Because he's obviously not okay.
Yep.
So that's questionable. You can hear the frustration mounting in Ryan's voice, and he just sounds completely miserable. Why would he be acting like this? How could he not remember anything from the past couple of nights? Did he really get hit so hard to give him a concussion and affect his memory? Ryan continues to just say he doesn't know and that he wants to go to sleep. At one point, tells the detective that Heather was someone else's girlfriend and not his, but then corrects himself and says that she is his girlfriend. Nothing he says is making sense. He even starts saying that Alicia was the one that gave him the injury to his eye and not Heather, as he had mentioned before. So now we have another name being added to the mix.
Well, Alicia was the roommate
The roommate that found, okay. That came home and just didn't see anything.
Christina's the random one. Like, where the hell did this person come from?
Okay.
With how confused Ryan has been and all the strange things he had been saying to the detective, it sort of seemed as if he really wasn't truly aware of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He had been found in the house with Heather, dead on the couch. But when the detective mentions this, surprise is evident in his voice. And here's a clip.
Hey, Ryan?
Huh? Huh?
There's a dead girl in your living room.
She's dead?
Yes.
Heather?
I don't know. I want to know what happened in your house last night.
The girl on the couch is dead?
I don't know. If she's on the couch, she's dead.
Yeah, he obviously has no idea what's going on.
Once this revelation comes out, Ryan starts talking again, but this time about some new people in the story. He says that there were some people that came over to his house last night on Christmas night, a guy named Richie and his dad. When they got there, they started shooting arrows and hit him and Heather with them. Here's a clip.
You and Heather were there. And then what happened?
And that's it. Richie and his dad tried to break in to the back.
Richie and dad? His dad?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Richie?
I don't know.
Well, you obviously know him. You know his name by Richie.
He used to live there.
Was he a roommate of yours?
He used to be.
And they hit you and they hit you?
Yeah.
Now it's Richie that hit you, not Heather?
No, Richie and his dad.
Richie and his dad. They hit you?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're trying to get their stuff. I don't know why.
And they had some kind of bow and arrows?
Mm-hmm. They each had two revolvers and they didn't let off any shells.
Okay, you just said they had bow and arrows. Now they have revolvers?
That's what I meant. They had revolvers.
They have revolvers?
Yes.
And then what happened?
What? Ryan still sounds out of it, but now claiming that a man named Richie and his dad came to his house and shot him and Heather with revolvers. The more Ryan talks, the more unbelievable the story is getting. Then he drops a bomb on the detective. Oh, here's this clip. And this one, this is a longer one that you need to hear all of it.
Oh my goodness. Okay, buckle up. Here we go.
And then they shot us with those.
They shot both of you?
Yeah.
Where'd they shoot you at?
I got shot in the eye.
You got shot in the eye?
I think so.
With a revolver?
I think. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Then what happened?
I don't know.
You don't know a lot, Ryan.
I don't, man. I really don't.
Oh, my God.
Did you shoot Heather?
Mm-mm.
I heard you have a lot of guns in your house.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Well, you know we're going to look.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, why don't you tell me what really happened there? Because I don't believe.
I really don't know, man. I really don't. I don't know. I can tell you anything, I swear.
Well, I want you to tell me the truth. That's all I want.
Richie and his dad came there. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why, but they put me in sleeping hold. And, like, they put me in sleeping hold with the arrows and shit. Like, I lived through that crap.
Okay, they put you in a sleeping hold?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know, man.
You're telling me they put you in a sleeping hold. What is a sleeping hold?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Well, explain it. It's coming out of your mouth. Explain that to me. What's a sleeping hold?
I really don't know, man. I really don't. I really don't know.
Okay. You're telling me, you're all over the board here, number one. You're saying bows and arrows, you're saying revolvers, and you're saying some other thing, and you're saying they shot you in the eye. Okay. They shot you with a revolver in your eye.
Yes.
And that's it. Is it a BB gun?
No, it was a real gun, man. It was just a revolver.
They shot you in the eye with a revolver, you wouldn't be talking to me right now.
How do you know?
It was most likely you'd be dead.
That's what I thought too, man. I really don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know, and I just want to go back to sleep and try to go back to bed.
You're not going back to bed, okay? That's not going to happen.
All right, but what happened, man? What am I going to do? Just tell me what I got to do.
Get your feet off my chair is number one. Number two, what happened to Heather?
I don't know, man. I really don't know.
You're now saying Richie and his dad shot Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yes.
And they shot her with a revolver?
Yes.
And did not use any gun. They came with those guns.
Mm-mm.
And they came through the where? They were breaking
through
in?
Through the back.
Through the back? By your door, or is there another door?
Through the back door.
Through the back door? Is that off the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
And why would they come on Christmas Day?
I don't know. I really don't know. Really don't know.
Did they break in, or did you let them in?
I let them in.
And then what happened?
And they started shooting up the house.
With a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what happened?
That's it.
What happened to Heather?
Heather got shot.
Where did she get shot?
Inside the face once.
She got shot inside of the face?
Mm-hmm.
How close How close were you to her when she got shot in the face?
It was after I got shot, so I didn't even hear anything.
So you got shot first?
Uh-huh.
And what happened? Did you fall to the ground?
Yeah, I was trying to get up and I couldn't. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And then she got shot?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do?
Nothing.
Did you call 911?
Uh-uh.
Did you see if she was alive?
She was sleeping still, and that's it. I just let her sleep.
She got shot in the side of the face, and you let her sleep?
Yes.
This does not make sense, Ryan.
I know, I didn't mean to, man. I'm sorry. I didn't know she was passing out. That's because I got shot wrong once, too, and I was gonna pass out.
Okay, this is now, not before.
I don't know.
You're saying right now you've been shot?
Yes.
In the eye?
Yes.
With a revolver?
Yes.
All right.
Let what Ryan told the detective sink in for a moment. Ryan has finally started to make a little more sense, yet anything he's saying still doesn't 100% make sense. The detective clearly doesn't believe that Ryan had been shot in the face, because if he had, what are the chances that Ryan would be sitting there having a conversation with him? The rest of the interrogation is heartbreaking to watch. Ryan is still struggling to get the information straight, because then he starts saying that Heather's dad came to the house and shot her. Richie and his dad were not related to Heather at all. As further proof that Dalton does not believe Ryan's story, as you heard, he point blank asks why Ryan shot Heather. And he swears he didn't, and that Heather's brother, Richie, did. They were not related.
Yeah.
Finally, almost an hour after the interrogation started and Ryan had just been left sitting there, Dalton decides to check out Ryan's wounds a little closer.
Why did he not do that sooner? But okay. He gets closer to Ryan's face and turns his head back and forth to check out the wounds on his nose and his black eye. And Ryan tells him that his head hurts. Detective Dalton closes up his paperwork, stands, and tells Ryan that he'll be right back. A few moments go by, and Dalton returns, telling Ryan that he's going to be taken to the hospital to get checked out. It's about time. While they're waiting for the paramedics to arrive, Ryan reiterates his story about the shooting, saying that he thinks he only got shot once in the eye. And here's that clip.
Absolutely, you're not going to believe this one.
I can't believe it either.
You're right. I've already heard the story. I can't believe it. This is just my observations that this might be an entrance, this might be an exit, this might be into his eye. And he's acting like he has a serious head injury, which would make sense.
You're just now figuring this out?
You fucking think so?
Oh my, why didn't you?
Yep, you are experiencing all of the emotions that I had.
What a fucking moron. Okay. It sounds like the detective is telling the paramedics that they're not going to believe it, and then points out what he believes to be entry and exit wounds on Ryan's face. Even stating that he had been behaving as if he had had a serious head injury. Yeah, you freaking think so? It took you this long after talking to him for who knows how long and leaving him in this room for an hour to maybe consider going back and actually looking at his injury?
Over 6 hours had passed since the authorities picked up Ryan and he went without medical treatment. Ryan was taken to the hospital where he was sent to ICU in critical condition. He actually, literally, had been shot in the face.
Oh my God.
The bullet had entered through the left side of his face and traveled to his left temporal lobe. A bullet splinter was stuck behind his left eye and caused brain swelling. Additional damage was caused by a piece of bone lodged in his brain along with fragments of his eye socket. Turns out he also had a broken jaw from being tackled to the ground by the police during the arrest.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, due to the delay in Ryan receiving medical treatment, he suffered an infection in his brain that prevented him from undergoing immediate surgery to remove the bullet. Finally, on December 28, 2006, he was able to have the operation once the infection was controlled. He spent 35 days in the hospital recovering. Even though he survived, he permanently lost his left eye and experienced debilitating seizures afterward. Quote, "He was like somebody with Alzheimer's. He would tell you the same story over and over again, or he asked the same question over and over again. He had the worst seizures that you could ever imagine," end quote, from a quote from his father, Don, about his condition.
That is heartbreaking. So he had probably been sitting there for close to 24 hours, as far as we know, with a bullet in his brain.
At some point, yeah, at some point, Christmas night, it happened.
So who were the assholes responsible for taking Heather Kwan's life and attempting to end Ryan's? Since Ryan had been able to identify them, Richie Carver was arrested first. Some reports circulated originally that the shooting was a result of a previous armed altercation between Richie and Ryan. More recently, it has come to light that there was no personal connection between Richie and Ryan and that they had never been roommates as the police previously thought. Richie had, in fact, been a previous tenant of the house Ryan and Heather lived in, but he had been kicked out of the house by his roommate, Eric, when they had an argument. Once Richie moved out, Ryan moved in and was Eric's roommate for a time before Eric moved out and Heather moved in. Ryan and Richie's paths had only crossed twice before. Once when Richie showed up at the house looking for his mail, and a second time when he was caught snooping in the backyard searching for his iguana. What? Okay. Larry Carver, Richie's father, fled immediately to California after the crime happened, taking the .22 caliber gun with him. After Larry and Richie were arrested, Larry's wife, Cheryl, gave an interview to the detectives, and she confirmed that they had left on December 25th, 2006, to retrieve Richie's belongings from his previous home. She also claimed that Larry confessed to the murders after returning home, saying, quote, "I've just fucked up. I killed two people, and I gotta get out of here," end quote. Yeah, you think? Why didn't she come forward sooner? Not that it's her fault, but anyway. I'm mad.
Unfortunately, shortly before the murder trial for Richie and Larry was set to begin, Cheryl recanted her statement and claimed she didn't remember Larry's confession. Mm-hmm. She even said she lied to the detectives about the incident out of spite for Larry over their very rocky relationship. Frustratingly, this meant that Larry's case was dismissed.
Oh my God.
As the main evidence they had to go by was based on the confessions made to Cheryl. He was acquitted after Cheryl invoked her spousal testimonial privilege and refused to testify against him. So, what is spousal testimonial privilege? In criminal cases, the spouse of a criminal defendant who is called as a witness by the prosecution may choose to testify, but cannot be compelled to testify against his or her spouse about events that occurred before and during the marriage. Richie Carver, on the other hand, was no stranger to trouble, as he had numerous assault and domestic violence charges on his record, and he had already served a 4-year prison term for armed robbery. Mm-hmm. He was convicted of felony murder, burglary, aggravated assault, and misconduct involving weapons. He ended up eventually confessing to the crime and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole in June of 2008.
Just a thought. As I sit here and talk shit about Cheryl, but at the same time, you don't know her situation. Larry could have been extremely abusive and scary from the sounds of it, and maybe he threatened her life, and that's why she recanted her statement for out of fear. Which is sad, but totally understandable.
It happens. And with what he had just done to Ryan and Heather, I would not put threatening her life off the table. So totally plausible.
It may not have even been the first time that something like that had happened. So we don't know. So sorry, Cheryl, for saying bad things about you. You were probably in a very bad situation at the time. So I can't even imagine. Since only one of the monsters responsible for Heather Kwan's death was paying for his crime, Heather's family appealed to the legislature to amend the spousal privilege, and the amended provision became known as Heather's Law in Arizona. Heather's Law amended the marital privilege statute to compel a defendant's spouse to testify by providing an exception to the privilege if one spouse voluntarily provides police with information about the other spouse's involvement in a serious crime. After a legal battle over whether or not the law could be applied retroactively to Larry's case, the court ruled in favor of the state, and Larry Carver was reindicted on November 2011 on first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, burglary, and aggravated assault. Good. After a 10-day trial, the jury deliberated for 2.5 days before reaching a verdict of guilty on all counts. Larry was sentenced to life imprisonment without parole on January 25th of 2013. According to a Facebook post shared by Ryan's father, Don, Larry Carver passed away in prison on June 30th, 2023. Wow, just a couple weeks ago. He says, quote, "I am excited to say that one of the two men who murdered Ryan and Heather has finished serving his life sentence. Larry Carver rotted away like the piece of garbage he was. Now he has met his maker."
Throughout researching this case, there have been some things that have popped up that were conflicting. When did the attack actually happen? According to Ryan's family, he had spent the day of December 23rd, 2006, with them helping them remodel the bathroom. Heather and Ryan's roommate, Alicia, also testified that the attack happened on Christmas night. Even Heather's obituary and headstone list her date of death as 12/25/2006. Ryan's surgeon said that his wound was fresh and it had no signs of being a 2-day-old injury. But the police report tries to claim that the attack happened 2 days before on December 23rd.
What?
Why would this be? Well, some believe the police did this to remove some of the focus off of their delay to provide Ryan with medical care. And from what I had researched, Detective Dalton was also incriminated for tampering with evidence, but he received zero repercussions.
Of course.
Ryan's family sued the Phoenix Police Department for $15 million for mishandling Ryan and Heather's case. 4 years of preparation went into the suit, but unfortunately, just a few weeks before the trial date, the case was just dismissed. The city of Phoenix filed a motion for dismissal with the court on the basis that an evaluation from a brain expert stated that the delay in Ryan's medical treatment would have made no difference to the extent of his injuries. He would have sustained the same injuries even without the delay in medical treatment. So the judge dismissed the lawsuit. Ryan's family disagrees. Quote, "The brain surgeon would have testified that when a brain is bleeding, it is swelling. And when it is swelling, catastrophic damage is being done. So every minute was critical," end quote, his father, Don Waller, had said. Mm-hmm. Today, Ryan's family still hopes for word about the injustice to reach more of the public and to hopefully gain enough exposure and pressure to get the case reopened against the Phoenix Police Department. Ryan moved back in with his parents so they could help care for him. He suffered regular injuries due to his seizures, and on January 20th, 2016, Don shared that his son had passed away as a result of one of his seizures.
That is so sad. The fact that he was treated like that after that happened, and then for him to live like that for almost 10 years without being able to make a recovery. And the fact that the case was dismissed, that's so shady. They're obviously just trying to cover it up and don't want to have to admit their wrongdoing when it came to the way that the case and Ryan had was been treated. Oh, it's awful. I don't know. I'm like speechless. Like, it's just so, it's so gross. It's gross. It's,
So like, a lot of the stuff that I had been reading when I was researching had said that, you know, the attack happened on the 23rd. So there immediately you're thinking, oh my God, this poor kid had been shot in the face. And then he was just left to wander around the house with his dead girlfriend on the couch, not knowing what had happened. And then the police finally came and You know, that makes it sound terrible, like, because so much time had passed, like, it just made his injuries, you know? But, you know, even in the interrogation video, Dalton asks, what happened last night? Like, they're...
Last night.
And this was on the 26th. Yes. They are setting it up that it happened December 25th. But the police report later says the attack happened on December 23rd. Like, so frustrating. Yeah. I mean, of course, making it sound like he spent more time there.
In that state.
In that state would explain why his injuries were so severe. No, dude, his injuries were severe because someone shot him in the fucking face.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, 6 hours is going to make a big difference. And the fact that they would look at somebody that looked like that and sounded like that and not be concerned and continue to sit there and question him for hours without getting him medical attention first.
That reminds me. There were photos of Ryan's face, like the second one, it's blurred out. It's a police photo they took of him when they apprehended him. And I found the uncensored version below that. So you were telling me you take those pictures of this poor boy and you don't immediately think, is that a fucking bullet wound on his nose?
It looks like a bullet wound.
Yeah. So that's
after he was... I know nothing about guns, and I can tell you that that's a fucking bullet wound. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm just like...
No, but... Yeah, I was... I was blown away when I found that uncensored... I mean, the uncensored picture is not for the faint of heart, you know? I got the censored version for us to be able to share, but I wanted you to be able to see the uncensored. Like, that is legitimately... a fucking bullet wound through his nose. And like they were saying, yeah, it looks like an entry and exit. And then if you scroll down, there's another picture, like the side.
Yeah.
There's that dark part above his ear. That's another exit wound. Like the fucking bullet went through his goddamn eye.
It feels like the detective, like Dalton, intentionally ignored what he was seeing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, a lot of the time, whenever you have a girlfriend dead, boyfriend's there, you know, it's the husband did it. It's always the husband. It's always the spouse or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, yeah, that's a good MO. But be sure first.
Like, maybe look at how the person, I don't even want to say suspect, look at how the person is acting.
In Ryan's case, just look at his fucking nose.
Seriously.
He got shot. Okay, even if he was still a suspect, he still got shot. You want to treat. You treat the medical injuries before you interrogate a suspect.
100%. It doesn't matter who you are, what you did. You should still, you know, make an effort to help somebody before questioning them for hours.
Yeah.
Especially if he's like, I don't even know what happened to me. And his story keeps changing and he seems confused as fuck.
The slurring when he's talking, he can't, like, yeah,
it's
okay.
Obvious maybe he has a brain injury.
You know, I hate playing this role, but, you know, playing devil's advocate. You know, yeah, how would somebody be shot in the face be sitting there talking? So, of course, you're not going to believe that. And he could be drunk, you know, maybe that's why he's acting like that. Like,
so then take a blood test, do an alcohol test, do something.
Exactly. You know, people trying to defend the Phoenix Police Department and Dalton, like saying, well, you know, he doesn't know his baseline of how he's supposed to be. He doesn't understand, you know, he doesn't know.
That's what, nobody's baseline.
No. Well, I mean, if you're on meth a lot, that could be, but.
But that's the thing. Do a drug test then.
It goes back to the medical treatment first.
Yes. Which involves seeing if they have any sort of substance in their system that might be impacting the way they're acting. Or, you know, a bullet in your head, you know, because
checking a bullet wound. Yeah. Just.
Oh, do you see that? Like, he's a fucking cop. Wouldn't he know what a bullet wound looked like? Haven't they been trained on any of this? Obviously not, which don't even get me started on my whole feelings about, like, people that are in the middle of a mental health crisis and the cops being called. Don't even get me started on that. But this is blatant ignorance.
Negligence,
you know, just ignoring what's right in front of your face because you want to get a win and you want this guy to tell you, oh yeah, I did it or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's all you're trying to accomplish here. No matter what the cost is to this, you know, poor guy who's obviously injured.
Thankfully, in the end, the people ultimately responsible for the death of Heather Kwan and the attempted murder of Ryan Waller were held accountable. It still does not change the fact that Ryan endured an unspeakable hell while in police custody. If you take a look at the photos of Ryan's face the police took, it is very apparent there are gunshot wounds on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of suspicion of guilt, medical treatment should have been rendered immediately before he was forced to sit in a police cruiser for 4 hours. Oh, I spiraled down the rabbit hole with this story too. So tell me, what do you think?
What a fucking mess. That's what I think. This is just like beyond negligent and awful. And I feel so sorry for both of their families. And can I just say, like, they look so happy and sweet in their pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Just two young people living their lives, you know, minding their own business on Christmas.
Ryan had recently just graduated high school and Heather was attending college when this happened.
That breaks my heart. I hope that they can find the justice that they very much deserve.
Don is still very much active. He's actually, he's still trying to get exposure, still trying to get people talking about it. He's still trying to fight the city of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. He even said on his Facebook that there had been people talking to him about possibly picking up to do a movie about Heather and Ryan's story. So that would be interesting to see if that happens.
I hope it does, and that they do it the right way.
Yeah.
And they don't sensationalize it. It doesn't need any more sensationalizing.
No, it's already
horrible. But that story deserves to be told and shared and for everyone to hear it. Yeah. Yep. So listen, share this, tell the story, because holy shit, that's awful. So thank you for being a part of our little creepy corner of chaos. That was a doozy. And be sure to join us again next week for another What the Fuck Wednesday. And I know I'm looking forward to it after the brain fuck that was this case. So thank you, Amber, for that.
Anytime. Happy to oblige, But who knows what we'll be talking about this time. At least, stupidity is in abundance when it comes to the lighter side of true crime. So we'll happily deliver.
Yes, every time. Until next time, stay safe.
And make good choices.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, little skeletons. I'm Gina.
And I'm Amber. God, we're going right into it. Okay. Fuck. No. Oh, okay. Hi, Dustin. No,
let's start it again.
Ease into it.
Hi, Dustin.
Fuck, man.
Well, I thought you were so excited. I wasn't going to fuck around.
I am, but God, we at least ease into it a little bit. You've just fucking balls to the wall, man.
I'm Gina.
I'm Amber.
And this is Weird True Crime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.